Hey, Senda.
Hey, Phil.
Oh, boy, I am in the middle of packing and prepping, and we're recording a show. I don't have too much else. Can we just chat while I'm packing?
Sure. Let's do it.
Cue music. And welcome to another fine episode of Pandas Talking Games. I'm one of your hosts, Phil.
And I am your other host, Senda. And for today's episode, we thought we'd just have a bit of a conversation because we are recording this hot on the heels of the last episode. You won't hear it until a week out from our last episode, but we didn't have time to put another topic together because it was too quick.
Which all centers around an event that's coming up for me this weekend, which is actually the reason why we're not recording on our normal night, because I will be away. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about because it's got a little bit of a gaming bent to it.
Yeah. And so I'm really excited to actually talk about this because I think it's been a very interesting and specific gaming challenge for you to solve. So firstly, do you want to give us a quick summary of what the gaming event is that you are planning for?
Yeah, absolutely. So a number of my friends and I are having an informal high school reunion. Yeah. For those, I will let people do the math, but I am a man in my 50s, so high school was a long time ago for me, right? Like more than 30 years ago. And this is not part of any kind of sponsored event. One of my good friends who lives very far away was like, I would like to do a reunion. I haven't seen a lot of you guys in many, many years, and I will come out from the West Coast to New York. So I was like, I'm in. I'll totally do it. And so slowly, a number of our other friends have also chimed in. And so we have people coming from Nebraska and, like I said, California, and a couple of us coming in from Buffalo. And then there's a number of my friends who actually live near where we grew up.
Yeah.
Near being a relative term, but relative enough. So one of the things, like, we were going to get together and I was like, well, we should play a game. We were a gaming group. They were my high school gaming group through the late 80s. So I, you know, well, the first thing that came to mind was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from Palladium Games, because that was one of the big games in our group in that period of time.
So I just want to clarify, because I think that this is that game. Is this the game that you talk about, like, playing it and not getting the pacing right and then starting it over because you got really excited and played it out too fast and then you're just like, God, yes. Well, let's do it again, right? Let's do it again.
Yeah, this game had like several campaign iterations because I would blow through arcs and I would blow through them in a way where it was like cataclysmic at the end of an arc. And it was like, where do you go from here? Right? Like nowhere kind of thing. So yes, I had like several restarted campaigns for this. And then one of the other things to note was, so back then when we were in high school, one of the younger members of the group, and I think he was like a year younger than we were, was a fledgling artist. And he later went on to go to comic book school. And then I don't think he remained in art as a career, but he was definitely an artist, you know, through our youth. And he did, sketches of all of the mutant animals in our game. Nice. Which will be key for later. I will explain why in a few minutes. But anyway, I was like, yeah, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles would be really the game that best kind of crystallizes our time together. But also, I don't want to run Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'm not a huge fan of the mechanics of that game. But luckily, Julian Kay created a retro clone called Mutants in the Now, which I have started running for one of my groups here in Buffalo, and was like, I could run Mutants in the Now just, you know, using our mutant animals from our high school game.
Yeah, so there's a number of really interesting challenges, I think, with this particular setup, because this is a nostalgia game, yes, right? Like, that's really what we're talking about, is recreating an adult version with adult knowledge and adult skills of a game that you ran multiple times. Yeah. So one of the things I think that you're doing right now, and I know that you're trying to do tonight, is trying to rebuild characters both in a different system and also from memory.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so I needed to, right? No one else is familiar with this game except for one other player who lives up here with me and is playing in the other game. And he's actually making his character. So that was one less character I had to make. Plus, this group is now...
what is it? Seven people?
Seven people, based on the size of the reunion. Seven people plus me, right? Yeah, it's an eight-person table.
That's a big table.
It's
We're going to get to that. Yeah. I'm going to ask you questions about that, too. Yeah.
So I needed to make six characters. Now, Mutants in the Now has a pretty in-depth character creation system. It's pretty fiddly, and I didn't have the time, right, to like make every character using exactly the system that Julian K created. So the first thing I did was I kind of looked at the character creation system and I was like, okay, how can I streamline this? Like, what hits all the high notes, but I could do in a night or two, right? And I actually did it in two sittings. So what I did was, like, the first thing I did was, there are eight stats for the game. You roll 4d6 for each stat. I was like, you know what? I'm going to make a stat line like the D&D standard array. So took a quick look at the D&D standard array, kind of felt through the math on it, and then made one that was eight stats for 4d6. All right, just like buffed it out a little. And then I was like, cool, every character is getting this base array, because through the different steps of the character creation process, you get bonuses. But I'm like, everybody starts with this base step, with this base like array of numbers, and I will arrange them as I see fit based on the archetype for this character.
And based on what you remember.
Which is very little, actually. Very, very little, right? I know some high points to each of the characters, but not like anything in depth. Plus, let's be clear, I was 17. And so there are times in the original campaign where I kitchen sinked things in from movies, from comic books, from television, for just a handful of things. One of the characters had a piece of equipment that was like Lionel's glove from Thundercats. Somebody had like Archangel's wings after they lost their natural wings in a combat. Another character had a gun similar to the one that Martial Law from the comic book series carries, right? Like, there's a lot of kitchen sink stuff. So first of all, I guess all of that got tossed out.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not recreating that stuff. Like,
can't remember that. No. Yeah.
So I went with the stat line. I simplified the mutation stuff so that I would just pick, like, every character gets the main mutation for their animal plus three major, three minor mutations, right? I'm not doing any of the calculations. I'm just pick, done. Yep. Three skill packages, five hobby skills, and, you know, those I handpicked, each one based on archetypes. And then everybody's getting like two weapons, body armor, and some gadget. And then I don't care what other equipment they want. They can just tell me and they can have it.
Yeah.
Right.
Not dealing with it. Yeah.
So it still was like a decent amount of stuff to put together. I did three characters at a time. It took me two sittings. I got six characters done. Right now, they're all sitting in a Google Docs spreadsheet.
Yes.
And that's okay. They just need to be transferred onto character sheets. But the other thing that I ran into, again, because no one's familiar with this game, no one has any of the books. You know, there'll just be one other player who's going to bring a book with them. So there are a lot of like abilities you get because, you know, the mutations give you abilities, your martial art gives you some abilities, that kind of thing. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to compile all of the abilities onto a single page, alphabetize them, cut and paste the rules text in from the book. I'm just going to make like two or three copies of this and put it on the table.
Yep.
So like when you're looking at your character sheet, if you don't understand what, you know, what horns give you, you know, go look at the sheet. It'll tell you, right? Horns, D10 weapon damage, and there's some other rules that go with it, kind of thing. Right. So that I think is the first part, and I'm almost, that part's done. I just, like I said, tonight I'm transferring stuff over. Probably tomorrow I'm transferring stuff over too. That's my guess. This is going to take me about two nights to get everybody onto their own PDFs, save them out, put them in a directory, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So I think the next question is, firstly, we know this is a one shot, right?
Yeah, it's definitely one shot.
It makes it a lot easier because you don't have to worry if you're off on the math or whatever, you're not committing to a campaign.
Exactly.
If any of this stuff is wonky or doesn't line up, it's a one shot.
If at any point the players were like, we would like to actually play this again, I would be like, cool. Like, let's get the PDF and go make your characters correctly.
Right. Like, yeah. Now go actually make your character, like go actually build it and make decisions. Yeah, for sure. So how long of a slot are you planning for?
I don't know. Right. I'm assuming 4 to 5 hours. Mm-hmm. But I'm at seven people.
Seven people, right? Right.
I'm at seven people, and this could take a little while, right?
Could take a while, yeah. I mean, my biggest game ever was 10 people, and somehow we slammed that into a two-hour slot still, but, like, I didn't have a choice, right?
Yeah.
There was no, like, running over. It was the last game of the convention. Like, you got to get out.
You know, we're going to be just hanging out at one of our friends' houses. Like, this game could potentially go really long.
Right. It could be 4 hours. It could be, like, let's grab dinner and keep going, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. But I know that you've been doing some work to try to streamline some of the parts that you're like, I'm not interested in spending time on this in this scenario.
Yeah. So knowing that it was going to be a one shot, knowing that, you know, we were just playing it one night together kind of things, I wanted to do something that was fairly straightforward. Yeah. Because, you know, this way the plot isn't convoluted. People aren't running down, you know, weird side quests or anything like that. Plus, I also, knowing that I was going to have a fairly big table, I wanted to have, like, moments where people could shine. Like, it can't be all seven the whole time.
No, right? Just a lot of people.
Right. I'm going to have to go around the table and give people moments to shine. So what I wanted to do was some sort of heist or assault kind of thing. So I settled on an assault. But assaults usually come with planning.
Yep.
And I was like, well, we can't do that. Like, no planning. Because that'll double the size of this game. Seven people trying to plan an assault.
Oh my gosh.
Will never work.
Yeah.
Which is where I came up with, and you can read about this in more detail on Gnome Stew. That's when I was like, okay, I'm going to make a Mad Lib plan.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to go make the plan that says, like, here's how we're assaulting the island, but I'm going to just put a bunch of blanks in it so that they can pick who's going to do which parts. And then I put some choices in for some of the parts, like, we'll create, you know, like, we'll knock out the radar tower quietly or loud, like, you know, with an explosion or
quickly
something.
Quickly or, yeah.
Yeah. You know, we need to create a diversion. We're going to create a diversion at, and then there's, like, a choice, like the power plant, the airstrip, the boat docks,
sure,
kind of thing. So they'll get to make some choices, and then they'll get to kind of pair up. Like, I think they're kind of paired up so that they're all in twos, and then they'll all get to do a thing before they kind of converge onto the central lab where, like, the big fight's going to occur.
Yeah.
And I'm not making that very complicated either. Like, we're going to get pretty quickly, like, oh, you break into the lab, you defeat some security, you're in the lab, and then ba-bing, big bad fight.
Right. And I was going to say, we maybe can't talk about that because spoilers, but this episode's going to drop.
After
you're already home.
Yeah.
So do you have any thoughts on the experience either of building villains, like, of big bads in Mutants in the Now, or again with the nostalgia, like trying to recreate a big bad that you have used before?
So a little of both.
Yeah.
I wanted something as a touchstone that I thought people would remember from the original TMNT game.
Right.
So there is an iconic villain from that book called Dr. Feral. So the actual adventure is called Feral's Island. So I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to take Dr. Farrell. He's up to no good. He has made a new mutagenic formula that he's going to sell to the underworld to make, you know, bigger and badder mutant animals. And the players are going to go stop it. That's the plot. Sure. So then I was like, all right, well, you need some henchmen. And there's some in the book. But I was like, you know what? I really don't want to get into it. So I looked through the Mutants in the Now book, and there's a set of four mutant dogs, I think called the Dog Pound or something like that. And I was like, great. These are fully statted, like lieutenant done. Level. Yeah. I'm like, done. They're just in the game now.
Yeah.
And then I found some stat blocks for guards and things like that. And I was like, great. Because Mutants in the Now does have a minion kind of rule where stats for minions work differently than stats for higher level bad guys.
Sure.
Yeah. So I was like, great, I'm just going to grab a block for minion guards because then those guys can just chew through guards like candy, right? Like, and just have a lot of fun massacring them and stuff like that.
Yes.
And then, like, I just came up with... to keep it easy, I came up with some rules about, like, when you move from one place to another on the island, there's a percent chance that a patrol might see you, or a percent chance that a patrol might be outside of a building. And I have, like, some tables for that. And then after the diversion, like, those percents change because you created a diversion.
Yeah.
So all of that is kind of put together. And really, the Mad Lib plan funnels all of it. Like, it explained the Mad Lib plan. And again, go to Gnome Stew. I published an article about this last Friday. The Mad Lib plan covers how does everyone get on the island, which is different for every, like, every couple mutants have a different way they're coming on the island.
Yeah.
Because that's cool, right? Like, that's just...
It is, yeah.
Right, that's
and it
cool.
It gives them the shine moment. And it's kind of like your intro moment in Knights Black Agents where everybody's getting to the city, right?
Exactly.
How do you get there? Yeah.
Like, two of them are parachuting into the far end of the island. Two are stowing away on a yacht that's coming from, like, a drug lord. One of them got in as a security detail for an arms dealer. And so they're, like, they're on site, like, wandering around, but they need to slip away so that no one sees them. Right. One of them got hired as part of the fight entertainment that's going to be that night fighting other animals. And so they've been, like, on the island for a few days and they actually know some stuff.
Yeah.
But they have to get out from the, like, secure place where they're kept.
Yes. Yeah.
So anyway, I have, like, some kind of cool ways that everyone has to come onto the island, and then they have to, like, get rid of the radar tower. They have to go make a diversion, and then they have to go, like, hit the lab, and then they have to get off the island, which I've just left myself a note that, like, based on time and stuff like that, like, if based on time, it's interesting to get off the island, anything other than narratively will do it. Otherwise they could just leave narratively.
Yeah,
like,
you could just narrate.
Yeah, like, if it's, like, one in the morning and they defeat Dr. Farrell, and I can just be like, and, you know, and you make your way out to the airfield and
off you go.
And off you go. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is the thing that you're most looking forward to about running this game?
Honestly, it's just to hang out with these guys again and like to play a game. Like, I have over the years, I have played other games with them up to a point. Like, they right around the 2000s is when I kind of stopped being, like, we stopped hanging out together. So, like, some of these guys I played some games with in the 90s. We played a lot of Amber together. A couple of these guys, we went to Gen Con in the early years when it went to Indianapolis, like, in the oh whatevers. And then, like, that's it. Like, that's it. So, really, for me, the sitting down to play a game with everybody is really going to be the fun part. Like, I got to get a table selfie of, like, you know, all these old guys sitting around the table, you know, 30 years later playing Mutant Animals once again. And cool. Like, so I guess I didn't mention this part. So when I reached out to everybody and was like, hey, I want to do this, the one guy who was the artist was like, I have, like, I scanned all my sketchbooks from when I was a kid.
Oh, I have
all the pictures.
Oh my God.
And he sent it to me in a Google Doc, like in a Google Drive folder. So I got to look through all of the pictures, which was good because there were a couple times where I was like, oh, that's that character's name. Like, I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
But he had them all named and he had like specific scenes from different parts of the campaign drawn out. Campaigns.
I'm like, does everybody else have those pictures? No. Are you?
I don't know if everyone else has seen them yet.
I feel like that's the kind of thing that's like, oh man, that's such a cool artifact.
Yeah. Like I was like, so I looked through it and I was like, okay, cool. I remember the characters. And there are like two players that aren't going to make it. Like we have two other people coming, but yeah. I have the characters those guys played. Yeah. So the guys that are going to be there are going to play those characters.
Yeah.
But like the full complement of animals is back.
Yeah.
So that's to me really interesting. But again, it's really the nostalgia trip, right? Like I wanted to play a game that these guys would be somewhat familiar with. I just didn't want to play Palladium, right? Like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
But the idea of playing Mutants in the Now, which, by the way, I think is actually a really cool retro clone of TMNT, by the way. Like, if you liked it or were curious about it, you should go check out Mutants in the Now. It's really slick. Anyway, yeah, that to me is like really the biggest thing. Whether, like, will the game work? It'll work. Not to ring my own bell, but I am enough of a GM to pull this off, right? Like,
it'll work one way or another, right?
It'll be fine. Yeah. I don't expect them to stick to the entire plan. No. Really, the Mad Lib thing is just to make them not plan.
Yeah. To start
if they
off
change
with.
It up when they hit the island and, sure. you know, then I don't care. I just don't want to spend an hour like sitting around with them like, well, what if we did this? And what if we did that? Like, you know. That's not what we're here for. We're
seven people, and that's not the primary goal.
Yeah, let's roll some dice and bust up some guards. Like, let's get to the fun parts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I'm definitely looking forward to that. The challenge of making all the characters, making the game, and I still have to do Dr. Farrell's stats. That's the one part I haven't done because the twist is, and I'll say this because now.
Yeah,
because
it'll be out after. Yeah, right. you can spoilers.
The twist is Dr. Farrell is going to take the mutagenic drug and turn into this like chimera of like multiple animals.
Yeah.
And he's going to be like the big bad that they fight.
Yeah.
I have not statted him. Like I have to do that. In the next 3 days, like
yes, before like you quickly. Go, yeah, yeah,
which won't be impossible. I just have to like quick whip it up, and I've now made enough characters that I have like a rough feel, like what is the, like what's a good defense, what's like a reasonable amount of hit points, that kind of thing that I can, you know, I can fake my way through it.
Yeah, neat.
So yeah, it's gonna be a thing. It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to gaming with these guys. When I was a kid in high school, we played all 4 years in high school. I remember it best when we had cars. So really like 3 years of it where when at least one of us had access to a car, we would on Fridays. We never worked on Fridays. All of us had off from our jobs on Fridays, like as a standing rule. And so like Fridays, we'd get out of school, we'd hit the grocery store, we'd buy like a cart full of like frozen pizzas, chips, pop, like all that stuff. Then we would roll out to somebody's house. It rotated from house to house. So my parents were, you know, frequent hosts and everybody else's parents were too. And we would game till like midnight, 1 a.m. and then like drive home, you know, we'd all drive each other home and, you know, kind of thing. And we did that all the way until we graduated high school. Like that was Friday night game night was all the way until right up until I left for college my freshman year.
Yeah.
So, you know, I almost want to go get some frozen pizzas and stuff, but I'm like, nah, I think we could just go out to dinner.
You might be able to do better now. We were right?
Just, yeah.
Well, you just do better.
We were, I mean, we were teenagers at the time, so we would buy frozen pizzas and then we would buy like extra pepperoni, extra mozzarella cheese, and like we had a whole bunch of spices and we just like doctor them up and throw them in the oven.
Nice.
So.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, I don't think that we have to actually drag this out too much further, but the thing that I think we should say is maybe in the next Bamboo Lounge after you're back.
Yeah,
because we're recording this before you go. Like we should totally have the rundown on how it went.
Yeah.
Because I will be fascinated to compare this planning to what actually happens at the table. It's always interesting. I'm
keeping it flexible because
You gotta. Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, thanks for letting me ramble on about it. But yeah, if you're ever planning a nostalgia game, I guess my tips are, right, keep it relatively simple. Don't put the focus on the game mechanics, right? Like it's not a, you know, unless everybody's still in the game, right? Like a lot of these guys I'm playing with have not played other games. Like some of them haven't played anything. Some of them have just been playing like D&D for like years kind of thing. So, you know, if you're not playing your homes, like the system you all grew up playing, then take it easy on the system. Focus on the fun. I did not make this overly challenging. Seven players should overpower pretty much everything I have planned.
Yeah, pretty easily.
Yeah. And I just, you know, give them some times to look cool.
Yeah.
Right. That's part of it is like, you know, give them some situations where they can come off and do some really cool things. And then, yeah, I guess we'll see if they've noticed if I've been, you know, if I've gotten any better as a GM in like 30 years. Like,
right. Maybe your pacing will be better.
I feel like the answer is yes. I might have gotten better in the last 30 years.
I mean, like, I'm listening to Children of the Shroud. I know.
Legit, like I guess that's fair, right?
Right. Put your money where your mouth is.
There we go. All right. Cool. I guess in order for us to get out of here, then you need to give us a blurb.
I do, but I'm being blinded.
Blinded by the light.
Yes. I'm not usually in this room at this time of day, so there are some challenges I did not anticipate, one of which is the sun.
I can see, like, I'm watching you on camera, and it's
very bright.
Funny.
Yeah. Okay. Well, on Thaco with Advantage, Ange and Jared love talking about RPGs and D&D. Together, they share insights into the games they're running in the campaign journal, and then tackle a variety of topics that affect the game and the DM's workshop. You might even pick up an ancient D&D factoid, which I'm pretty sure is a D&Doid, which is what I said earlier, right? About a previous edition of the game that you may never use.
Yes.
Yes, a D&Doid.
Hey, Senda, where do people find us on the internet?
Well, now, as of now, you can find us at polygamero.us, which is polygamerous. Polygamero.us, which is polygamerous/panda. And that's it. That's all you really need to know. That has all the places you can find us all over the internet and also by email, et cetera, et cetera. So once you found your favorite way to contact us, Phil, what can they do with that information?
Leave us a question, a query, a comment, whatever it is, something that you would like us to lend our vast experience towards. That vast experience includes decades of running games, decades of playing games, nearly a decade of GMing advice and game design. So we will put all of that to work for you to answer your questions with the ultimate goal of making your games more better fun. Because you will then stay in the hobby longer and have a good time doing all the cool things that we do when we play role-playing games. So we want you to have that. That's our job is to help you. Cool. If you like what we're doing here elsewhere on the Polygamerous Network, you can hit us up on our Patreon. Now, note, at the time of this recording, our Patreon, because we don't know how to do it yet, still has some remnants of the old misdirected mark. The old Misdirected Mark Network. So it is going to be patreon.com/MMP. Join that. You're going to get to go to the Slack room for life. That also, I think we're working on rebranding into.
I'm literally, as of the recording of this, I'm literally just waiting until I'm sure everyone's seen the announcement.
Yes.
So that they're not suddenly like, what the heck Slack channel is this? I already changed the logo, but I didn't change the name.
Yeah. So with that said, you'll get access to the Slack room for life, hang out with great people, talk with the host, participate in all sorts of discussions. That's all going on. There's going to be probably in the month, I think it's going to start in the month of May. We're going to start having some evening gaming focused discussions that are going to be roundtabled by myself, Everson, and Jerry. Mm-hmm. Three of us are going to.
In the merry month of May.
I think it's going to be May. I don't want to promise anything because we have to finish Children of the Shroud first.
You do. You do.
So
yeah.
Children of the Shroud has to finish and then we're going to start organizing it. So I'm saying May now, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all the stuff you can get from participating, joining the Patreon. What that does is keeps the lights on for us. That's hugely important for us in order to be able to do the things that we do. It's all done because of your support and patronage. If you're supporting our Patreon campaign, we thank you very much. And if you're unable to support our Patreon campaign, there's a thing you can do that helps us immensely. It only takes a few moments of your precious time, which we respect, but we ask if you have a few moments. This is a big help for us. Senda, what is that thing?
Yeah, you could leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or the podcatcher of your choice, wherever you get this show from. If you're not listening on a podcatcher or you've already left one or you just don't feel like leaving one, you can also just tell a friend or a random person on the internet who seems interested in a car talk-like system agnostic TTRPG discussion show. You know, when that description fits, hit us up. We're here. That's right. What we're here for. And thank you so much to everybody who both has left a review or told a friend. And we know that some of you are direct beneficiaries of having been told about this show. So thanks for sticking around.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much. And thank you for coming over with us to the new network.
Yeah.
That's the old network.
That's the old network.
With a different name.
Did I say the old network?
Say, Senda. What would be a nostalgic game for us to play in like 15, 20 years?
Ninja Panda Taco.
That's a good answer.
That's a good one, right? Thing. Yeah, absolutely.
This show is a joint production of She's a Super Geek and Misdirected Mark Productions, the media arm of Encoded Designs. Show me what you got, hey, show me what you got, show me what you got, hey, show me what you got, show me what you got, hey, show me what you got,
bloop,
clicky, yeah. Click, click, click.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
All right, Ryan, we are recording this on a Monday. We're going to record it short, we're going to record it fast, but we just need something to be in the feed while I'm gone this weekend.
Yeah. This is going to potentially be a little bit like a B-side because we've both been working all day and now we're recording.
Yes, we're going to try to be good about language and talking. Just we're going to try to be brief, as brief as you and I are capable of being.
Yeah, at some point I'm going to get hungry and then I'm going to be like, can we wrap it up?
I'm fair with that.
I'm hungry. Okay.
Ready to align?
Yes.
Bloop.
You ready?
Yeah. I think so. I don't know what we're going to talk about yet, but it doesn't matter.
No, we're just going to do it.
I need to come up with questions to ask you. I have some.
Start me off by giving a summary of it.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Bloop.
Bloop. Did I say it?
No, it's fine. Somebody forgot to silence his phone.
Oh, me too.
Oh, hang on.
But I just, okay.
Bloop.
Tell me what you got.
Show me what you got. Show me what you got. Show me what you got.